The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 6 verse 7, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And on the surface it would appear that he's merely stating the obvious. At this season of harvest, it's an opportune time to think about sowing and reaping, about seed time and harvest. In today's message, which I've entitled "The Seed for Harvest," I want to focus on a spiritual harvest which many, if not most of us, are missing. The harvest of faith words. In my school days, I remember learning a kind of rhyme which went something like this: "Sticks and stones can break your bones, but names can never hurt you." Which on an intellectual and emotional level was trying to instill into the thinking and mentality an idea that if someone called you a name, it was of no consequence. Yet, as most of us have discovered in later life, words can be just as hurtful and harmful as any stick or stone. As King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said in Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Name-calling and insulting words can destroy and are just as deadly as any disease or cancer. But the point I'm trying to make is that it's not so much the words which others use against you that can kill, but by your own words you can kill and destroy the happiness and fulfillment and fruit of your own life. Words can kill faith in the favor of God. Today, I want to focus on the fruit or harvest of our lips. I want to show you that without sowing the right seed, you can't expect the right harvest. Sometimes preachers will speak about sowing into the kingdom of God or sowing money into the church in order to get a harvest of blessing, a harvest of reward. Yet this kind of theology is deeply flawed and not in line with biblical principles. While we should sow into faithful ministries and honorable charities, our motivation to give should never be born out of a desire to get. While I shall endeavor today to show you that you cannot have a harvest without seed, you cannot either have a reward without faithfulness. In other words, we must do things the right way to get the right results. If you're not getting the right results, the right harvest, then it's most likely that you're not handling the seed the right way. In the springtime, the farmer may open the barn door and thank God for an abundance of ready seed. He may pray over that seed. He may declare a bumper harvest this year and close the barn door again. But the seed will not produce, nor the harvest become a reality, until that seed is sown into good and fertile ground. Many of us have great faith. Many of us have thankful hearts. And many of us have an abundance of seed. Yet if we're not seeing harvest, it could be because we're not sowing properly. There's a natural law that must be followed. So too, there are spiritual laws that govern faith and promise, which we must follow. So let me teach you today about a faith harvest. But I sometimes think that the church has been robbed in recent times. Unaware and unconscious of satanic attacks, we've been plundered of the rights and privileges of the kingdom of God, and been shortchanged into thinking that we must struggle and sweat for every blessed thing, every blessing that God has in store. The Word, God's Word, God's grace and favor, God's keys of the kingdom are given to deliver everything that we may ever need. When we're up against it, when we're fighting with the world and its ways, we need to be saying what God says. When you are sick, then say you are well. When you are poor, then say you are rich. When you are sad, then say you are happy. When you are empty, then say you are full. God says, let the weak say, I am strong. Joel 3 verse 10. Our old religious head will get us thinking that we're just telling lies. But how can we be liars when we're speaking what God says? Faith calls those things that are not as though they were. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin, Hebrews 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Paul adds in Romans 10 verse 8, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Quoting from Deuteronomy 30 verse 14. We must first get that word in our mouth before we can get it into our hearts. Keep saying what God says. Get it on the inside. Then it will begin to manifest on the outside. For there can be no harvest without the seed. Sow those seeds. Speak those words by faith. And then you'll expect and see the harvest. Jesus wasn't just making up words to fill up the Bible when he said, you shall have whatsoever you say, Mark 11:23. He didn't say this because it was true. He said it because that's the law of faith. And we need to start speaking right before we can harvest right. The law of faith is the law of change. And if you want to change things, you're going to have to say it, speak about it differently from the way it is. It is not a lie, it is a law. There's a wonderful illustration of these principles in the Old Testament story of Abraham and Sarah, and God's promise to them in the book of Genesis from chapter 15 onwards. In chapter 15, verse 2, Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me? Seeing that I go childless. So God took him out under an open heaven and showed him the stars and promised him that as the stars were in number, so would his seed or his offspring be. And verse 6 tells us that Abram believed God and it was counted or reckoned unto him as righteousness. Yet we see time passing and there's no manifestation of the promise, no child. So Abram and Sarah get together, assuming that God has forgotten his promise, or that God doesn't understand that they are advancing in years and that Sarah is barren. And they come up with the idea in chapter 16 of getting the housemaid Hagar pregnant, and a baby boy Ishmael is born, fathered by Abram. After this child was born, God never said another word to Abram for 13 years. God will let you struggle and sweat your way, but you're going to fail. The harvest will not come in until we learn God's way. 13 years later, God returned to him and said, your name will no longer be called Abram, but Abraham, meaning the father of nations. Remember that Abram had the promise now for 24 years. He believed the promise, but yet saw no manifestation. We have no record that Abram ever spoke out, declared, confessed the promise over that period. But God's word was out, and God must fulfill his word. So in order for the promise to materialize, God had to change the man's name to get him to speak, to get him to declare that his name was now Abraham, the father of nations. And that by saying, I am Abraham, he was in fact saying, I am the father of multitudes. Now, by his confession, by his words, the faith seed could find ground in which to bring forth fruit, the harvest, the son, the nation. Notice that Abraham was 99 years old when God changed his name, Genesis 17. And before he was 100, the promised child was born. God made the man speak when he changed his name. What is God going to have to do to us to get us to learn this law that until we say it, we will not see it. God had to get Abraham's mouth in line with God's mouth, Abraham's words in harmony with God's words. And in 3 months, his wife, a barren woman, was pregnant with Isaac. God has your miracle already in place, but you must speak it out and call it done. Call it yours. Remember, it's not a lie. It's a law. Until you call it yours, that seed remains in the barn and not in the ground, and you'll beg in the time of harvest. The DNA of God is in his word. And when you begin to speak the word of God, it creates inside you, in the spirit, a process which will bear fruit and produce results. This is not some name it and claim it theology. That's a nonsense. This is about using God's word to change your life. Begin to say it as God says it. Then you'll see it as God sees it. Let me share with you another scripture that reinforces this great law. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1 verse 27, where Paul writes, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. God has chosen things that are not to bring down to nothing things that are. So if you are in pain or in poverty or in peril, you must call what is not there to come there and bring down what is there. The Christian life is about bringing heaven down to take hell out. I call on the love of God to bring down any hatred in my heart. I call on the peace of God to bring down any turmoil in my life. I call on the presence of God to bring down any loneliness, or the power of God to destroy any weakness. If it's missing, I call on God's favor to supply it, and then thank him for it in the same breath. Don't let the devil rob you of what is already yours. Call it, claim it, and cherish it. But just be careful that you don't declare these things before unbelievers or those believers who are still carnal in their thinking. For they who have no understanding of the mind of God will try to talk you out of it. Consider now what actually happens when we operate or function in this way. Look at what Paul says in the next chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Notice in verse 10 that the word Spirit is capitalized, and in this form usually refers to or means the Holy Spirit. But here the capitalization is erroneous and confusing, and in this context it applies to the human spirit, which will make more sense as I explain what the verse means. Why would the Holy Spirit search the deep things of God? The Holy Spirit is as much God as God is God, as the next verse points out. But it is the human spirit which searches for the promise, for a word from God, which the Holy Spirit reveals. Verse 9. When we are living by this law of faith, when we proclaim, declare, plant the seed, saying, I have abundance and no lack, or I have health and no sickness. The human spirit then goes into the search mode to find a way to cause this to come about or to come to pass. Then you'll be led by your spirit, prompted by the Holy Spirit, to be in the right place at the right time to receive your harvest and your answer to prayer. You won't know why you went there or how things happened as they did, but you look back and see God's hand in it all. Do you know that God is able to bring the right people at the right time into your life, to bring them to you or to bring you to them, so that you can get that mountain removed? You'll discover that fever is gone, that tumor has shrunken, that debt has been paid, or that soul has been saved. The strength you said you had when you didn't feel you had it will suddenly be in your legs and you'll walk again. When you said, I have the answer, and thank God for the answer to your problem, even though the problem was still looming large, you'll discover that God will bring the right person with the wisdom and the answer into your day. But you must sow the seed of faith first. You must walk in grace by faith. As the apostle says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Praise God. Let me say more about this. Come with me over to Psalm 77, where we read at verse 6. The psalmist says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit, makes diligent search. Verses 1 through 5 show us the psalmist in trouble and in despair, even to the point of overwhelming. So now he puts his spirit, notice it's his own spirit, into the search mode. He is searching for the answer, for the way out. And verse 10 says, and I said, this is my infirmity. Here the Spirit of God is prompting, answering him. This is what's wrong and what to do to make it right. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work, and, listen, talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Did you see it? Talk of thy doings. Start talking right, and you'll begin walking right. Every word you say is a seed you sow, and whatsoever you sow, you will reap. I've heard folks say things like, I get the flu every winter, or my children will be the death of me, or this pain is killing me, I'm never going to get out of this mess, or I've enjoyed bad health all my life, or the Lord has forgotten about me, or things never go right in this house. There's no betterment for him. And so on and so on. You've heard it too, as I have. And tragically, we even hear it within the walls and confines of the church. May God forgive us. My dear friends, these things ought not to be so. It is the devil robbing, stealing from the children of God. And I want to put a stop to it. This harvest season of the year, purpose and pledge before God that you will cease, that you will stop from this day forward to sow the seeds of negativity and speak only those things which God speaks. Set your mind, set your thoughts, set your heart and your mouth on things above, higher things, better things, pure things, hopeful things, honest things, helpful things, and speak about those and nothing else. If you must condemn, then condemn no one but the devil. Now this final word. In our Old Testament lesson earlier in today's service from Deuteronomy chapter 28 verses 1 through 14, we find a declaration of trust which God gave through Moses. It was for a nation, but I'm going to paraphrase it now and make it personal for you and for me. write to me and I'll send you a copy of this paraphrased declaration, and you should speak this out loud every day. I declare before God that I am truly blessed. Blessed in my down sitting and blessed in my uprising. Blessed in my going out and blessed in my coming in. I am blessed spiritually, socially, physically, mentally, psychologically, relationally, interpersonally, and materially. Every part of my life is blessed. I speak into my day and I willingly accept and agree with God's will for my day. I accept success into my day. I speak into my activities that my words and works are successful and that there is no decrease or failure. I speak into my home, that my home be a haven of peace. I speak into my loved ones. I speak that their lives come into agreement with God's will. I declare that blessings, bounty, and favor are in our family homes, so that we may lend and not borrow. I speak into my mind peace. I speak into my heart courage. I speak into my feet that there are paths that I can walk on, so that I can overcome every obstacle. I speak into my spirit faith and confidence in God's word. I declare, as he has, that I am the head and not the tail. I am the first and not the last. I am above and not beneath. I am loved by God, chosen by God, and protected by God. God's angels encamp about me. I am never alone. Today shall come into direct alignment with the plans and purposes of God. Every good and every perfect gift comes from God. Today is my gift. Therefore, it will end perfectly and it will end good. Because as God's child, I cannot be disadvantaged. I profess all these things to be mine and I call them mine. In Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that when we speak like this into our lives and into our circumstances, we create an atmosphere where the Bible, God's word, works and where the devil has a hard time getting through to us. Sow your vocal seed today. Speak what God speaks and begin to reap the harvest of bounty and blessing that God has for you, and may God abundantly reward and replenish your barns. Amen.